Chapter 4, Legal Description of Land. Describing land. A legal description is a detailed way of describing a parcel of land for documents such as deeds and mortgages that will be accepted in a court of law. The description is based on information collected through a survey, the process by which boundaries are measured by calculating the dimensions and area to determine the exact location of a piece of land. Courts have stated that a description is legally sufficient if it allows a surveyor to locate the parcel. In this context, locate means that the surveyor must be able to define the exact boundaries of the property. A street address will not tell a surveyor how large the property is or where it begins and ends. Methods of describing real estate. Several alternative systems of identification have been developed to express a legal description of real estate. Three basic methods can be used to describe real estate: 1. Metes and bounds. 2. Rectangular or government survey. 3. Lot and block, recorded plat. Although each method can be used independently, the methods may be combined in some situations. Some states use only one method, others use all three. Metes and bounds method. The metes and bounds method is the oldest type of legal description. Metes mean distance, and bounds means compass directions or angles. A metes and bounds description always starts at a designated place on the parcel, called the point of beginning, POB. From there, the surveyor proceeds around the property's boundaries. The boundaries are recorded by referring to linear measurements, natural and artificial landmarks, called monuments, and directions. A metes and bounds description always ends back at the POB so that the tract being described is completely enclosed. Metes and bounds descriptions were used in the original 13 colonies and in those states that were being settled, while the rectangular survey system was being developed. Today, as technology allows for greater precision and expanded record keeping, there is greater integration of land description information. Monuments are fixed objects used to identify the POB, the ends of boundary segments, or the location of intersecting boundaries. A monument may be a natural object, such as a stone, large tree, lake, or stream. It may also be a man-made object, such as a street, highway, fence, canal, or markers, iron pins, or concrete posts, placed by surveyors. Measurements often include the words more or less, because the location of the monuments is more important than the distances given in the wording. In other words, the actual distance between monuments takes precedence over any linear measurements in the description. Metes and bounds descriptions are used in Illinois when describing irregular tracts, portions of a recorded lot, or fractions of a section. Such descriptions always incorporate the rectangular survey method and refer to the section, township, range, and principal meridian of the land. Rectangular, government, survey system. The rectangular survey system, sometimes called the government survey system, was established by Congress in 1785 to standardize the description of land acquired by the newly formed federal government. This system is based on two sets of intersecting lines, principal meridians and baselines. Some features of the rectangular survey system. The principal meridians run north and south. The baselines run east and west. Both are located by reference to degrees of longitude and latitude. Each principal meridian has a name or number and is crossed by a baseline. Each principal meridian and its corresponding baseline are used to survey a definite area of land, indicated on the map by boundary lines. There are 37 principal meridians in the United States. Each principal meridian describes only specific areas of land by boundaries. No parcel of land is described by reference to more than one principal meridian. The meridian used is not necessarily the nearest one. Locations in Illinois are described by their relation to one of three meridians, 2, 3, and 4. Note that only two of these three meridians actually run through Illinois, 3 and 4, but nevertheless, all are sometimes referenced in legal descriptions for Illinois properties. The second principal meridian is located in Indiana and controls that portion of Illinois lying south and east of Kankakee. The third principal meridian begins at Cairo, at the junction of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers, and extends northward toward Wisconsin and near Rockford to the Illinois-Wisconsin border. The fourth principal meridian begins near Beardstown and extends northward to the Canadian border. Surveys of land located in the western portion of Illinois use a baseline for the fourth principal meridian at Beardstown. Surveys of land in Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota are made from the fourth principal meridian using a baseline that is on the Illinois-Wisconsin border. Not all property is described by reference to the nearest principal meridian. A property on the western border of the third principal meridian and just west of Rockford will be described by reference to the fourth principal meridian. There are no options with regard to the meridians and baselines used to describe a particular property. Once made, a legal description is not changed. Further divisions are used in the same way as monuments in the meets and bounds method. They are townships, ranges, sections, and quarter section lines. Township tiers. Lines running east and west, parallel to the baseline and 6 miles apart, are referred to as township lines. They form strips of land called township tiers. These township tiers are designated by consecutive numbers north or south of the baseline. For instance, the strip of land between 6 and 12 miles north of a baseline is Township 2 North. Township ranges. The land on either side of a principal meridian is divided into 6-mile-wide strips by lines running north and south, parallel to the meridian. These north-south strips of land are called ranges. They are designated by consecutive numbers east or west of the principal meridian. For example, Range 3 East would be a strip of land between 12 and 18 miles east of its principal meridian. Township squares. When the horizontal township lines and the vertical range lines intersect, they form squares. The 6-mile square areas are called townships. These township squares are the basic units of the rectangular survey system. Townships are 6 miles square and contain 36 square miles, 23,040 acres. For this discussion, the word township used by itself refers only to the township squares formed by the vertical range lines intersecting the tiers. Each township is given a legal description. The township's description includes the following: designation of the township tier in which the township is located, designation of the range strip, name or number of the principal meridian for that area sections. Some features of townships. Each township contains 36 sections. Each section is 1 square mile or 640 acres. Sections are numbered 1 through 36. Section 1 is always in the northeast or upper right-hand corner. The numbering proceeds right to left, backward, beginning in the upper right-hand corner. From there, the numbers drop down to the next tier and continue from left to right, then back from the right again to the left. By law, each section number 16 is set aside for school purposes. The sale or rental proceeds from section 16 were originally available for township school use. The schoolhouse was often located in this section, so it would be centrally located for all of the students in the township. As a result, Section 16 is always referred to as the school section. Correction lines. Range lines are parallel only in theory. Due to the curvature of the Earth, range lines gradually approach each other. If they are extended northward, they eventually meet at the North Pole. The fact that the Earth is not flat, combined with the crude instruments used in the early days, means that few townships are exactly 6-mile squares or contain exactly 36 square miles. The system compensates for this round earth problem with correction lines. Every fourth township line, both north and south of the baseline, is designated a correction line. On each correction line, the range lines are measured to the full distance of 6 miles apart. Guide meridians run north and south at 24-mile intervals from the principal meridian. Fractional sections and government lots, undersized or oversized sections, are classified as fractional sections. Fractional sections may occur for a number of reasons. In some areas, for instance, the rectangular survey may have been done by separate crews, and gaps less than a section wide remained when the surveys met. Other errors may have resulted from the physical difficulties encountered in the actual survey. For example, part of a section may be submerged in water. Reading a rectangular survey description to determine the location and size of a property described in the rectangular or government survey style, start at the end and work backward to the beginning. In other words, analyze the legal description right to left. See the math section to determine how to calculate property sizes. In general, if a rectangular survey description does not use the conjunction and or a semicolon, indicating two or more parcels are combined, the longer the description, the smaller the tract of land it describes. Legal descriptions should always include the name of the county and state in which the land is located, because meridians often relate to more than one state and occasionally relate to two baselines. Metes and bounds descriptions within the rectangular survey system. Land and states that use the rectangular survey system also may require a metes and bounds description. This usually occurs in one of three situations: 1. When describing an irregular tract, 2. When a tract is too small to be described by quarter sections, 3. When a tract does not follow the lot or block lines of a recorded subdivision or section, quarter section lines, or other fractional section lines. Metes and bounds descriptions may be included in the rectangular survey system used in Illinois when describing irregular or small tracts. Lot and block system. The third method of legal description is the lot and block, recorded plat, system. This system uses lot and block numbers referred to in a plat map filed in the public records of the county where the land is located. The lot and block system is often used to describe a property in subdivisions and urban areas. A lot and block survey is performed in two steps. 1. First, a large parcel of land is described either by metes and bounds or by rectangular survey. 2. Once this large parcel is surveyed, it is broken into smaller parcels. As a result, a lot and block legal description is always a smaller part of a metes and bounds or rectangular survey description. For each parcel described under the lot and block system, the lot refers to the numerical designation of any particular parcel. The block refers to a large part of the subdivision under which the map is recorded. When properly signed and approved, the subdivision plat is recorded in the county in which the land is located. The plat becomes part of the legal description. In describing a lot from a recorded subdivision plat, three identifiers are used. 1. Lot and block number. 2. Name or number of the subdivision plat. 3. Name of the county and state. Illinois Plat Act. Under the Illinois Plat Act, when an owner divides a parcel of land into two or more parts, any of which is less than 5 acres, the parts must be surveyed, and a plat of subdivision recorded. An exception to this would be the division of lots or blocks of less than 1 acre in any recorded subdivision that does not involve the creation of any new streets or easements of access. When a conveyance is made, the county recorder may require an affidavit that an exception exists. The provisions of the Illinois Plat Act are complicated and subject to interpretation by each county recorder. Anyone attempting to record a document conveying land should consult a lawyer and the county recorder about the requirements involved. Legal descriptions. A licensed surveyor is the only one responsible for preparing a legal description. The legal description is part of a survey. This legal description is then copied into the deed and title insurance documents on the closing of a real estate sale. Legal descriptions should be copied with extreme care. An incorrectly worded legal description in a sales contract may result in a conveyance of more or less land than the parties intended. For example, damages suffered from an incorrect description could be extensive if buildings and improvements need to be moved because the land upon which the improvements were made is not owned. Often, even punctuation is extremely critical. The survey shows the location and dimensions of the parcel and the legal description. A spot survey shows the location and dimensions of the parcel and legal description, as well as the location, size, and shape of buildings and other improvements on the parcel. As a result, A spot survey shows all easements and possible encroachments of improvements onto the surveyed property or encroachments of improvements on the surveyed property onto an adjoining property and is required by a lender before closing a sale transaction. Legal descriptions should not be altered or combined without adequate information from a surveyor or title attorney. The surveyor does this by preparing two documents, a boundary survey and a legal description. It is especially important for real estate licensees to be aware of various surveys and their uses. Not all surveys include surveyor liability and warranties of accuracy. Some surveys, such as an improvement location certificate, ILC, are not full surveys. ILCs are prepared in a shorter time frame and at less cost, providing only the location of the structures and improvements as related to property boundaries. Elevations. Just as surface rights must be identified, surveyed, and described, so must rights to the property above the earth's surface. Elevations are measured to determine the legal descriptions of air rights and condominium apartments. As discussed earlier, land includes the space above the ground. In the same way, land may be measured and divided into parcels, the air itself may be divided. An owner may subdivide the air above his land into air lots. Air lots are composed of the airspace within specific boundaries located over a parcel of land. The condominium laws passed in all states require that a registered land surveyor prepare a plat map that shows the elevations of floor and ceiling surfaces and the vertical boundaries of each unit with reference to an official datum. A unit's floor, for instance, might be 60 feet above the datum and its ceiling, 69 feet. Typically, a separate plat is prepared for each floor in the condominium building. Subsurface rights can be legally described in the same manner as air rights. They are measured below the datum rather than above it. Subsurface rights are used not only for coal mining, petroleum drilling, and utility line location, but also for multi-story condominiums, both residential and commercial, that have several floors below ground level. Datum. A datum is a point, line, or surface from which elevations are measured or indicated. For the purpose of the U.S. Geological Survey, USGS, datum is defined as the mean sea level at New York Harbor. However, virtually all large cities have local official datum that is used instead of the USGS datum. A surveyor would use a datum in determining the height of a structure or establishing the grade of a street. The general datum plane used by Illinois surveyors is the USGS datum.